This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am so excited to be here today. I am with my guest, Marcella Oakley. Let me tell you how I met her. I was in church talking with my friend Rachel Noonan, who is episode one of the podcast. So if you want to hear Rachel's story, go back to episode one, listen to her story. It's absolutely amazing. And it's also the most listened to episode of the podcast. So you can kind of join the crowd on that. And if you are interested, you can just keep on listening. You can keep on listening to all of the episodes after that. But definitely Rachel's story is super great. And Rachel said, oh my gosh, you have to interview Marcella. She has such a great story. She's such a wonderful person. And now I'm here with her. I really don't know a whole lot about Marcella. And so I'm excited to learn today. Marcella, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be so great. Guys, just being in studio with her before we came online, it's been so much fun, and there's such a cool energy going on right now. So I hope that all of you are going to get this vibe as well as we talk. But Marcella, I'd love to have you share with our listeners about your background and just give us some intro, right? Like, tell us all about yourself and tell us how you ended up coming into a faith relationship with God.
Well, absolutely. So I am a woman in my upper 40s, let's be honest.
Gotcha.
And I've got three beautiful kids at home. I came into a faith journey. I was introduced to faith as a child, and okay. I was very blessed in that way. I grew up with my grandmother, a little old grandmother who was from El Salvador, mm-hmm. was in my home as I was raised. And so she really taught me how to have a relationship with God, and that God is in our lives to have a relationship with him, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was raised in a Catholic church and married. I was a law enforcement officer,
okay.
a hostage negotiator and detective.
Ooh.
Worked the night shift, did that for...
She says that so casually. I was a hostage negotiator and detective. Like, I mean, I guess it is just your reality, but that sounds really cool to me. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about that. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when I'm doing laundry, my kids' laundry, and I'm a mom, and I'm like in sweatpants, I remind myself that there was a day when I was kind of cool.
I got you. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So my husband, Will, and I ended up finding the Burke Community Church, and it really resonated with both of us. He's Baptist. He has a Baptist background. And we both felt like we were learning here, and that our relationship with God was strengthened through that learning.
Mm-hmm.
But God has been really evident in all phases of my life. I feel like in my 40s, I'm really a teenager again. And it's like you get a second shot and you're learning on super fast mode. And one of the things that I'm learning about is how to strengthen my relationship with God and how to get back into having a really personal relationship with God, which is exciting.
That is exciting. Okay, I have so many questions. So first of all, you grew up with your grandmother in the home, and she's from El Salvador. So that's super intriguing to me, because I think you know that I am married to someone from Chile, and also I have been to El Salvador before. And it was such an incredible experience to be in that country. And I met some of the most dynamic, like, God-inspired, faith-filled people that I've ever met in my life when I was in El Salvador. So I just have, like, a major respect. I'm sure I would have loved your grandmother.
She was amazing. She was the kind of woman that in this little town that she lived in, she learned she had a doctor, because back then you could buy medicine and walk out into the mountains and give the medicine to the poor who needed the medicine.
Okay.
And so she had a good friend who was a doctor, and she asked him to teach her how to give an IV, and she learned on herself. And she went out into the town. My mother has these memories of walking into the mountains and just kind of being like this medicine woman for the people that needed it. And just because she wanted to take care of the people around her. So she was always like that. And it really resonated. Her love for humanity, which was obviously a love for God, was a foundation for my my religious life and my upbringing and my relationship with God. And I, as a law enforcement officer, I noticed that people are raised differently. That, you know, we always think that everybody's the same. We're all the same and we all had the same experience, but we all don't have the same experience. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very blessed in that I was taught that God exists and that he is in this world from a very young age.
Yeah. And not only that he exists, but also that he's personal.
Yes.
And that you can like talk to him. Because a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people think of God as this far off, like, I don't know, governing head or something that maybe is just doing things his way and doesn't care necessarily about me, because they think there's bad in the world, there's evil in the world, so therefore God doesn't care or something. I think there's this idea out there. And whenever you realize, and especially grow up understanding that God is here, but he's also personal and he's someone I can talk to. He cares about me and he wants to bring good. He's bringing good and involved is something that, you're right, a lot of people have to discover that later in life, or they never discover it, which is part of why we do this podcast, is to help people discover that this is a reality that we all have access to. So that's really neat. It seems like that was modeled for you at home.
It was, and it's an ongoing discovery, because as we grow, I know for myself, you lose, as other things become important to you and you follow goals, you start to, sometimes we forget about that relationship. Mm-hmm. That's really core. And I know I did. And so it's exciting to know that you can always come back and that he is your friend and he loves you very much. Yeah. And so that's, it's really exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah. Okay. So you grew up with this foundation of understanding of God. You knew he was personal. You knew he was in the world and even in your life. And that was really a starting point really for you. And then you mentioned your husband as well, that he grew up Baptist. And so I presume that maybe he had an exposure to faith as well. And the two of you come together. And where were you working? How'd you meet your husband? Like, how did you guys meet and what was life like back then?
So life was very different from what it is now.
Okay.
This was
back when you were cool?
Yeah, this is way, okay. I was much cooler than
okay,
I am now.
Okay, got it.
We were both working the night shift. We were both detectives. And where we worked, which was the city of Alexandria, they had a night shift. And once a month you signed, you know, you knew you were going to work the night shift. He started in robbery and then he went to homicide. And I was an SVU detective for...
What does that mean?
So sexual violence.
Okay.
And I worked specifically with children who were victims.
Wow.
And
what
I
way to start your career, my goodness.
Well, I didn't start that way.
Oh,
so
okay.
It doesn't start...
Okay.
You start as a law enforcement officer who works like for me, I worked a beat basically.
Okay.
And I worked, because I spoke Spanish, I worked an area that spoke primarily Spanish.
Okay.
And I worked That's the cool. night shift, which was fun. So
yeah.
Great way to spend your 20s. Awesome. You learn a lot about people.
Right. I bet. Yeah. Wow.
And so then I went into the detectives unit. I met Will. Don't ever fall in love with the guy, you know, at the other
on night shift.
And I realized that, you know, Sarah and Sam were in my life at that point.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They were young.
Children.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, which I'm very blessed to have. And all of a sudden, decisions were being made differently, because he and I were both being called in at night, you know, for something that happened, because you have two detectives that were together at that point. We were living together we knew that we wanted to have a baby.
Yeah.
And what would our life look like with both of us being law enforcement? So shout out to all those law enforcement officers that are doing it. It is I'm so grateful for people who choose to stay in that. It's really hard.
Right.
For families,
where, right.
Especially with both parents being involved. So we got married. I then went into real estate. My family had been in real estate for years. And so that was back in like 2013. I have one of my mentors in the hostage negotiation world who was my lieutenant called me and asked if I would join him at a global negotiation firm. They teach negotiations globally called the Black Swan Group, and did that for, I would say, about 5 years. And then I decided to jumpstart Verity, the Verity Accord, which is my company. And we're teaching our own set of hostage negotiation techniques our way to the real estate space. And we're, you know, touching different groups.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, guys, we're about to hear more about the way she's experienced God in her life. I just want to restate what I just heard. Make sure everybody heard it really well. And that is that Marcella was a detective who then became a hostage negotiator who then worked for Black Swan Group doing global hostage negotiation, and then is an entrepreneur who launched her own business. I have so many questions that I'm probably going to have to ask offline, but I'm just intrigued. I'm super intrigued, but let's talk about God, because I want to talk about in this whole like journey that you've been on, your marriage, your career, your bonus children, all of this. Tell me the way that you've experienced God over the years, and have there been any specific points in time that where you feel like God's presence has really been evident to you?
Absolutely. So definitely as a child, I felt very close to him. When I became a law enforcement officer, I was very grateful because you do see a lot of terrible things and the horrible things that happen to people. You also see the good, and you see the people that come out to help and to provide assistance where needed. And that is a reflection of God for sure. Mm. God was definitely involved in the birth of my child, Isabella. She has a condition called cystic fibrosis, mm-hmm. and I happen to go to a high school that does a huge fundraiser for CF. And CF back in the 80s and 90s was terrible, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was raised learning about how terrible CF was without the medication that we have today. So when I learned that I was pregnant, I remember before even calling my husband, we were renting this house down in Stafford, and it overlooked this beautiful waterway. And I got the pregnancy test and it said positive. And the first thing I did was I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, I'm giving this baby to you. You know, thank you for letting me be a mom and carry this child. Right. And I'm putting her, I didn't know it was going to be a little girl.
Yeah.
I'm putting this baby in your hands, and please, you know, guide her and love her. And then the day she was born, everything was fine. 2 days later, so they come back in and they said, they're worried that she has cystic fibrosis. There's something called meconium ileus that children with CF have, which is passing the first stool they struggle with because of the mucus. And she's probably going to need this like life-saving surgery. And so we want to take her up to hospital. And which was a really interesting space for me to be in as a negotiator, because, I did not react well to that. Mm. And it put me in a place where I was on the other side of a crisis, and mm-hmm. I was really feeling that. And Will was on the other side of a crisis. But he, meaning God, mm-hmm. spoke to me and to my husband, because all throughout that process, Isabella was flown to Children's. My mother drove faster than I've ever seen my mom drive. drove me up to DC, and every room that she was placed in. So her initial room was a trauma room in Children's in NICU. And from the room, I could see the Franciscan monastery that I had been raised going to. Mm. And then she was moved to another room like a week or two later. And from that room, I could see the Basilica. And I remember there was a moment where we were picked up by a cab driver. Thankfully we had family that was always with her, so she was never alone. And like, if we had to go to Target or, you know, grab something, we would take a cab while my family was with Isabella. And I remember the cab driver just praying with us randomly. Like, wow. We had people praying. My father ran into one of the cardinals of the church, and he prayed with her, with my dad, over her. I mean, people were just
coming around you.
And the day that she was diagnosed, right? And so at the time when we were diagnosed, at the time the lifespan for people with cystic fibrosis was 34, 35 years old, and I was about that age. Mm. And we were told that although there was a lot that they were working on, there was nothing that they could give her that was in the pipeline that was immediate for her right now. So it felt like we were hit by a truck. Mm-hmm. I remember driving home, and we stopped at a light in DC, and literally, like, on the wall, there's this as big as the building. If God, I mean, sometimes God does do these things for us, right? As big as the building to the side of us was, it was across the entire building. It was a picture of Jesus holding a man and the footsteps in the sand. And I'm sure you're familiar with that poem.
Yeah. He's carrying you.
He is carrying, he's telling us, like, just trust, right? Just trust me.
I'm with you. I'm carrying you. Right.
Yeah. And then we met with, a Franciscan monk, because we needed assistance. And I remember being filled with fear. I mean, it was like, I couldn't sleep. We were filled with fear. And he had said something to us. He said, look, this is the part where you have to trust in him, because you're so worried about that mountain over there. Mm-hmm. In reality, you don't know if you're going to even go over that mountain. There might be another way that you just have to, you have to trust in God. And so we decided to take that route and that viewpoint in life. And started raising her that way. Like, we're just going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep believing, we're going to keep praying. And we were hospitalized, and we were at Children's when she was about 5 years old. And there's a picture that I have of Will with, you know, sitting in the hospital, and this pipeline drug came up, which has been a game changer in CF. It actually, people are saying that kids who are on this from a very young age will likely have a normal lifespan, called Trikafta. And she's been on it since she was five. And it has been a game changer in her life. Wow. So we really do have a miracle in our lives. And
how old is she?
She is turning 11.
Wow.
Yeah, tough little girl.
That's amazing. I can tell that your journey with her has also been a journey with God.
Yes.
That he has been carrying you and also giving you peace in the midst of chaos. He's been giving you hope in the midst of despair. He's been giving you, you know, light in the midst of darkness, and really carrying you as you have faced some of the biggest challenges that we can face while we're in this world. And yet when you talk about her, when I can just see on your face, just a smile and a joy and an uplifting of your spirit whenever you talk about her. And that is, to me, that is something that God has just kind of birthed within you. And I think that is so neat.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Well, that's huge. I'm wondering, how has this played out in other areas of your life? Do you have anything else over the years? I mean, obviously your journey with Isabella has been huge, but I'm sure you've also had other things play out, you know? And I'm just curious, like, what are other areas of where you've seen God show up over the years?
So I have. God has shown up as love. Right. Mm. So God, particularly with my mom, now that I'm in my 40s and I'm raising children, I'm really aware of the fact that we're, as parents, really big conduits to our children of our relationship with God and what the world feels like when we realize that God's in it. And my mother was a big part of that for me. Both of my parents were. Mm-hmm. So my mom, God showed up when my mom, she passed away suddenly, almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
And in Sorry. No, yeah. that's okay. Mm-hmm. In those moments, I saw how she, her faith really, and her love for us, even as she was passing away, was really the most important thing. And I, and that's a ripple effect. There's a ripple effect to that.
You carry it with you.
I do.
Yeah,
I do. And it's like, if that, that love, right, that lasts forever.
Yes, it and, does.
And that's stronger than fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stronger than grief.
Mm-hmm.
The
Bible says that there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love.
There you go. Yeah. It also says not to fear.
Yes. And that love cast out all fear.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It is. Yeah. It sounds like she really embodied that in her last moments.
Yeah, she did. She did. And now as a parent myself, I feel that I'm trying to have more of a personal relationship with God, but also to teach. It's really a privilege to be able to teach your children that that God exists in the world, because they're living in a very complex world, and a world that in a lot of ways is less connected. Even though we have AI and we have social media, it would feel like we should be more connected, but I think we've lost a lot of interpersonal connection. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it starts at home.
It
starts at home. So God has, I'm really lucky. God has been a theme in my life. It's more me who has pulled away in different times
of
my life.
Right. Yeah, but I can just sense, even from talking to you, and also I know those of you listening can't see her, but she just is like exuding this sense of confidence in his presence and like confidence in his work in her life. And I can't explain how I can like visually see that. I'm not sure if you guys can hear it, but it is, but it's very evident that you're journey with him has really captured this essence of God's presence with you, as well as carrying you, you know. And frankly, I know that for you, your career was just like, that was your career. It was what you knew how to do. It was normal to you. But for me, thinking about your career, to me, that is also a time where I'm sure God cultivated a lot of this in within you, because being in law enforcement, being in hostage negotiation, you've seen things that most people on earth will never experience, you know, and you had to go home every night and go to bed, you know, after doing that for your job. And I think that, and also you worked in the sexual victims unit, you know, I mean, you've seen things that are very dark on this earth, and you've seen people who are in very, very broken situations. And so the contrast of having had that career, but also having this like confidence in God's presence that you're exuding to me while we're talking, I think is really, really fascinating, because a lot of people on earth that are doubting God, that are thinking he's not real, or all those Christians are just like follow, you know, they're just brainwashed. And, you know, those people out there that are just acting like God is something, and it's just because they all are just brainwashed and they're just talking to one another. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very real thing. And I think that a lot of times what is hard for folks, especially people that are in a critical stage of doubt, is that they feel like there are all of these bad things in the world and there's so much brokenness. How in the world could you believe in a good God? And you have had to face that on a daily basis when you wake up in the morning. Do you want to say anything about that? Like, what is your perspective on that?
Well, my perspective is evil does exist in the world.
That's right.
And trying to hide it or pretend that it doesn't is not helpful to our community, to our Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, in a lot of ways, that helps the evil, right? And so if you just acknowledge and see that it exists, you also can see that the flip side of that coin also exists.
Mm.
And you can feed one or the other, right? And yes, there are terrible things that happen in the world. And Will and I have both seen those things, a lot of those things. But we choose to not let those things guide us. And when you have a foundation and you choose to make God your foundation, he continues to speak to you. And sometimes it's hard because there's a lot of noise, or you're going through the hard thing, the terrible thing. And so you're asking a lot of questions and you're grieving, right? So for my mom, I'll give my mom as an example. Yeah. She had a tumor and we were told that it was operable. I said that wrong. Yeah.
So that's right.
And so, and that she would survive, that they've never lost anybody to this operation. And that in fact, she needed it in order to survive. But she had a reaction to a medicine that was given to her. She died of something called heparin-induced thrombosis.
My goodness.
And so she died of multiple strokes. And so we watched as she lost her abilities and could barely speak and couldn't remember things in this hospital. But then even I think she chose to, even through the fear, and I can only imagine the fear that she was in, chose to speak love and to tell us that she loved us. Mm. And I remember we were very confused because we didn't know whether we should fight for her life or help her die in peace. It was a very confusing time. And the doctor came in, who was a Walter Reed doctor. She worked there at this hospital as well, outside of Walter Reed. And I said, you know, doc, I had not seen this doctor before. She was taking over shift for the whole unit. And I said, right now, my mom needs grace. And I remember her looking at me and she was like, well, honey, with this Southern accent, my name is Grace. And if you can't tell me that that's not God, I mean, you know,
wow. Like,
that's my point, is that.
What a cool story.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
my mom needs grace. Well, my name is Grace. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, and Grace did some wonderful things for us. And so that's how God shows up. But we have to be, our eyes, I think that a lot of times we're in spaces where we're forgetting to look. Mm. We're forgetting that as we're confronted with the terribleness, and my friend Rachel is an amazing testament to this.
Yes, she is.
Right?
Yeah.
That there is also amazing grace and that there's also God. And it's a choice.
Yeah.
And you have to, sometimes you have to help each other. We have to help each other. So if you're having a rough day, I'll help you and you help me. And a lot of times that's just unloading the baggage first and talking about the hard thing and acknowledging that it's hard.
Right. Gosh, I'm thinking about the lyrics to this very popular hymn, Amazing Grace.
Yes.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
There you go.
And if you think about it, we're talking about the evil in the world, the hardness in the world, you know, and the writer of this song says, I was a wretch and I was saved. I was blind and I could see. I was lost, but I was found, you know. And so really it's about God coming into the darkness, rescuing us from the darkness. And if you go back to the episode that released on May 5th, I talked a good bit about my just some things that have gone on in my life over the past 2 years that have been really hard, and how God is good even when things are bad. And I think that that is just something that's hard for people to reckon with sometimes, especially when you don't have a personal relationship with God and you don't understand how real and life-giving it is. And so I just encourage anyone listening to really, if you don't have a personal relationship with God and you've never surrendered your will, your way, your control to him, then I would encourage you to do that, because it is life-giving and it is something that comes into those dark places. And so I think Marcella's story is a story of, you know, knowing that God's presence is with us at all times, and that it's just it's like a gracious, redeeming, powerful presence that is in control and that is personal. but it's also there in the midst of you experiencing the realities of evil in the world, the realities of brokenness, the realities of disappointment, the realities of loss and grief, you know, and God is in all of that, but in a way where that's very life-giving. Oh, God, he's just so cool, isn't he?
He is, and he wants us to know each other too. I mean, that's,
yeah,
in those moments, I got to learn about other people, and it was an honor to be in those spaces with people. And when you learn about the people around you, your world becomes bigger.
Mm. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. This has been really, really great. I love learning about what God has done over the years in your life and the way that we can see him on display just in your own personal journey. As we close, is there any advice you'd like to give to somebody who might be seeking right now?
So the advice I'd give would be start observing and start looking at the little things that you might be missing. And when you start to notice the little things, you start to notice more good. You'll notice the bad. That's sometimes more prevalent and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But amongst the terrible situations, look for the helpers. And the helpers are kind of an example of God's work. And you see them everywhere.
Yes, they're coming out of the woodwork at mm-hmm. times. Yeah, look for the good. I love that. Thank you so much, Marcella. This has been a beautiful conversation.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.